Last Lord's Day evening, we began the second part of the Heidelberg Catechism, that part that deals with salvation, with grace, with deliverance. And to remember how it began there in Lord's Day 5, we learned that according to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both in this life and forever after. And we learned that the only way to escape this punishment, and the only way to return to God's favor, is for God's justice to be satisfied. The claims of His justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or by another. But as we know very well from our own experience, we cannot pay this debt ourselves. We actually increase our guilt and increase the debt that we owe every day that we live. And neither is there any other creature in all the world that can pay this debt for us. We need a mediator, you see. We need someone to come and to stand between us and God. We need someone to come to satisfy the claims of God's justice, to pay our debt and to pay it in full. We need a mediator and a deliverer, one who is truly human and truly righteous, but also one who is true God. Well, now as we come to Lord's Day 6 of the Catechism, we're finally introduced to that mediator and that deliverer that we need. And of course, that mediator and that deliverer is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who is truly human and truly righteous. He's also the one who is true God. And He was given us by God to set us completely free and to make us right with God. And we learn all of this in the Holy Gospel. And it is to that Gospel then that we turn our attention this evening as we look at Matthew 1 verses 18 through 25. And I have just 2 points this evening from our text. The first point is taken from verses 18 and 19. And the first point is this: what the law cannot do. What the law cannot do. And the second point is taken then from verses 20 through 25. And it's very simply this: what the gospel does. So 2 points: what the law cannot do, and then what the gospel does. We begin with what the law cannot do. Look at verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And here we learn that Jesus Christ has an earthly mother and that His mother is Mary. It is from her that He took His human nature. And we're reminded here at the outset of verse 18 that Jesus is fully and truly human. We learn also a few things about His mother, Mary. We learn that she was betrothed to Joseph. That is to say, she was engaged. She had pledged herself to Joseph, and Joseph had pledged himself to her. And in those days, such a betrothal was just as binding as marriage itself. In fact, a betrothed couple was really considered already to be married, and yet that marriage had not been consummated. They were not yet permitted to live together, nor to have sexual relations with one another. But a betrothal was a binding agreement that could be annulled only in the case of infidelity on the part of one or both of those who had been betrothed. And so that's the situation in which Mary and Joseph find themselves. They are betrothed. They are pledged to one another. They are bound to be married. But now we learn in verse 18 that after they were betrothed, but before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And this child conceived in Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by Joseph. Jesus is fully human, taking His human nature from Mary, but He's also fully God, conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. This is a holy conception. This is a miraculous conception. This is a necessary conception. but it was also a scandalous conception. Can you imagine what a scandal this would be? Can you imagine the rumors that no doubt would begin to fly? Can you imagine what people would be saying about Mary? How could Mary be with child? Well, it was certainly a scandal to Joseph. Verse 19. We read there that Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. There are two things that we need to note about Joseph. First of all, he was a just man. It is significant that Joseph is described as a just man. It tells us that Joseph was a man who hungered and thirsted after righteousness. He was a man who sought to abide by the law of God. He was a man who is concerned with righteousness, a man who is concerned with holiness, a man who is concerned in walking before the Lord God. And it tells us what Joseph must have thought. Surely Mary has been unfaithful. Surely Mary has committed adultery. I know that I've not been with her, and yet here she is with child. It must have been a scandal to Joseph. Mary, well, he had to conclude that Mary had sinned. That Mary had not kept the law. That Mary was guilty of breaking their betrothal. That Mary had sinned against God. Joseph was a just man, but we learn also that Joseph did not want to make her a public example, and so was minded to put her away. Though Joseph was certainly convinced that Mary had sinned against the law, what other conclusion could he draw on his own? Though Joseph was convinced that Mary had sinned against the law, he didn't want to make her a public example. He didn't want to shame her. He could have, of course. He could have brought charges against her. He could have defended his own reputation and his own integrity. He could have put all the blame on Mary and shamed her in order to preserve himself and his own reputation. But he didn't want to do that. Surely he loved Mary. And even though he thought she had sinned against him, you see here still some evidence of what was his love for her. So, while deeply hurt, no doubt, Joseph nevertheless was minded to put her away secretly. This was the best option available to him. It was really the best that the law could do. The law could offer no solution to this scandal. The law could offer no resolution that would spare Mary from shame. It could offer no answer that would restore Mary and Joseph. A secret divorce was the very best the law could offer. And of course, isn't that all the law can ever do? It tells us what God requires of us. The law is good. It's holy. It's just. It tells us what righteousness and holiness look like. It tells us how we are to live before God. But the law cannot give us life. And it cannot give us righteousness and holiness. And it cannot give us what God requires of us. We come to know our sin and misery by the law of God. Our sin because we've not kept the law of God. And our misery because the law requires payment of us for sin. All the law can do is declare us guilty and pronounce its just sentence upon us. It cannot reconcile us to God. And it cannot reconcile us to one another. And so you see what the law cannot do here in verses 18 and 19. The law cannot reconcile Mary and Joseph. The law cannot cover Joseph and Mary. The law cannot pronounce Joseph and Mary innocent. The law cannot resolve this scandal. The best the law can do is permit a secret divorce in which they would be spared from some shame, but certainly not all of it. And most sadly of all, the best the law can do is leave a broken relationship. The law cannot provide communion. It could provide no way out. But you see, what the law could not do, the gospel does. And the gospel comes to Joseph here by way of announcement that comes from heaven. Verse 20. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Here is the announcement itself, the announcement of the gospel. And notice how the angel of the Lord ministers exactly to Joseph's needs. His name is known by heaven. Joseph. And not only his name is known, but his lineage is known. Joseph, son of David. And not only his name and not only his lineage are known in heaven, but his fears. God ministers to Joseph and applies the healing balm of the gospel to Joseph's fears. And beloved, isn't it such a wonderful and comforting thought that as a child of the King, you're known by the King in heaven because the King is your Father. And you have an elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And your name is known. And your situation is known. And the fears and the troubles of your heart are known. God brings his gospel to you and ministers exactly to those fears and exactly to those troubles. He comes to Joseph here and says, don't be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. You need not put her away, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And here's what's going to happen. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What an announcement. What news. What good news. This was exactly the news that Joseph and Mary needed to hear. And it's exactly the news that we need to hear. Jesus is the mediator and the deliverer we need. Truly human, truly righteous, and at the same time truly God. And he is the one who will save his people from their sins. He was given us, as our catechism puts it, to set us completely free. And to make us right with God. It's what the gospel's declaring to you. It's what our text is declaring to you. It's what Jesus is declaring to you at the table this evening. You're set free from the guilt of your sin, from the power of your sin. And you're made forever right with God. This is what God has promised to do. He's promised to give a mediator, and here he does so. Look at verses 22 and 23. The quotation comes from Isaiah the prophet, that passage we read a little earlier this evening. This is what God has been working towards all along, from Genesis 3, verse 15 onward. God himself, as our catechism puts it, began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets, portraying it through the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Finally, he fulfilled it through his own son. Do you want to know what the scriptures are about? What the Bible's about? It's about Jesus. That's what God is telling us over and over and over again, as one beautiful little children's Bible subtitles its title, Every Story Whispers His Name. And her catechism here has a beautiful contrast, an important contrast between the law and the gospel. If you remember back to the beginning of the first part of the catechism, that part on sin and on guilt, it began with question and answer 3, saying, how do you come to know your sin and misery? And do you remember the answer? By the law of God. How do you come to know your sin? By the law. Look what the catechism tells us now in question and answer 19. How do you come to know Jesus? How do you come to know your mediator? How do you come to know your deliverer? How do you come to know your Savior? By the Holy Gospel. By the law is the knowledge of sin. By the Gospel comes the knowledge of Christ. And you see what that Gospel announcement does here. Verses 24 and 25, just briefly, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife. His fears are gone. His worries are gone. His anxieties are gone. His heartache is gone. Earth has no sorrows that heaven cannot heal. And not only did the gospel take such sorrows away, the gospel also gave great joy because it brought reconciliation. Joseph took to him Mary, his wife, the wife whom he loved. And then Matthew makes clear that he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He wants to be very clear that Jesus is truly human, taking his human nature from Mary. But he wants to be equally clear that Jesus is and ever remains true God. He has no earthly father. And Joseph and Mary then did what they were commanded. They named the child Jesus, which means Savior. And you think about that. Every time they said his name, as a little baby held in their arms, as a little toddler walking around, as a young boy, as a teenager, as a young man, every time they said the name Jesus, they thought back to this. He will save his people from their sins. You see, all that God requires of us in the law, He gives us freely and fully in the gospel, because what He gives us in the gospel is His own Son. And He is the answer for our sin. And He is the answer for our guilt. And He is the answer for our greatest need. If you imagine for a moment that our text ended with verse 19, and there was no verse 20 or no verse 21. Imagine how different things would be just for Joseph and Mary. Joseph would have put Mary away. Their relationship would have never been reconciled. Shame would have remained upon them. Accusations would have flown against them. But you see, the gospel answers all of that. And even as it answered all of that for them, so it answers all of that for those who put their faith in Jesus to this very day. The gospel brings reconciliation between God and man, and it brings reconciliation between man and his fellow man. It takes away shame. It stops every accusation. It sets us right with God because the gospel tells us that God's justice has been satisfied. And the claims of his justice have been paid in full. Our debt is paid. If you've ever been in debt to anyone or for anything, you know what a wonderful and freeing feeling it is when that debt is finally paid. God is telling you in the gospel your debt, your eternal debt, the debt of your sin, the greatest debt you could ever owe, that debt has been paid in full. And there's no more payment to be made. This is the great message of the gospel. And it's the message that the law could never bring us. As one author of old put it, the law is our condemnation, the gospel is our salvation. The law condemns, the gospel justifies. The law convicts, the gospel relieves. The law says, do. The gospel says, done. The law says, go. The gospel says, come. This is what God is telling us in the gospel. He's telling us, if you're weary and heavy laden, burdened down with guilt and all of your futile efforts to earn God's acceptance, He's saying, come to me. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's what He's telling us at His table, because in the gospel, God is giving us, well, He's giving us Himself. God with us. Here is comfort for our troubled hearts. Here is food for those who hunger after righteousness. Here is drink for those who thirst after righteousness. Here God says, come to me and be filled. Beloved child of God, come to the table. Because here is the body of Christ broken for a complete remission of all your sins. And here is His blood shed for a complete remission of all your sins. Here He is saying, it is finished. Your debt is paid. Let us come to the table of the Lord and eat of the bread and drink of the cup and commune with our dear Savior.